This is CliffCentral.com. Pan-African Connect on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to Monday afternoon. My name is Rosie Muthena, aka the Afro-Yiddish Princess. After a very entertaining show by Trevor Gumbi and Nina Hasty. Love those guys. Crazy, crazy, crazy. It's Monday, 3 to 5, and of course, it's Pan-African Connect, where we connect to beautiful people, interesting stories, powerful imagery, traditions, cultures from across our beautiful continent. And today, we go to West Africa. And I say West Africa because it's not specific to one country. We'll be talking to a phenomenal Nigerian-born princess that lives in Ghana, but is also a global brand, spent a lot of time in the UK, South Africa, the US. We're going to hear a little bit more about this phenomenal woman, Gina West. But if you want to call in, our number is 0861-555-189. And of course, on Twitter, I am Princess RTM. Otherwise, it's Gina West Music. And of course, we are on Instagram and Facebook. But before we get into it, we got to start the day like we always do.
Uh-huh. You know what it is.
Black and Jewish, black and Jewish, black and Jewish, black and Jewish.
Yeah.
Black and Jewish.
Yeah, you know what it is. My nose and ass, they're both big. Yeah, screaming for the hater, sipping OE at my Passover Seder. Repping for my parents, when you see me, you know everything.
While pouring down, soon as I hit the shoe, I go so hard. I'm Rosh Hashanah, I blow the shofar. Get my hair did, reading the Torah. I'm thugged out, I set my enemies with the menorah. And I got the pedal to the metal, cruising in my minivan, coming straight up out the shadow. Hear my grandma talk, but there's nothing you can tell her. We on the way to meet up with our Jewish diamond seller. She trying to set me up, but I'm breaking hearts. At least it's circumcised.
You know what it is. My nose and ass, they're both big. I use hot sauce on my laps and bagels. We on the corner, shooting dreidel.
Repping for my parents, when you see me, you know everything.
Black and Jewish, black and Jewish, black and Jewish, black and Jewish.
We shut it down, had my bar mitzvah at KFC.
Black and Jewish, black and Jewish, black and Jewish, black and Jewish.
Got a call from my rabbi, this just in. There's a great deal on kosher chicken. Wearing big glasses, but I'm chic though. My bar mitzvah was cracking all week, ho. I'm sipping Clico, and I'm keeping Shabbos. Every Hanukkah, I devour the roots and lockers. No paper planes, but I'm taking flight. I got a free trip to Israel, birthright.
Yeah, you know what it is. My nose and ass, they're both big. I'm popping bottles, with quiet bitch. Don't spend no money, but you know I'm rich.
Tripping for my parents, when you see me, you know everything.
Pan-African Connect on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to the show. It is 3 minutes past three. My name is Rosie Muthena, aka the Afro-Yiddish Princess. Welcome to my show, Pan-African Connect, where I can connect to all beautiful people from across the continent, east, west, south, the Central Africa. We talk about food, we talk about tradition, we talk about culture, music, and today we're talking to one beautiful lady. Guys and ladies out there, go to my Facebook page, go to my Twitter page. Look how gorgeous this woman, Gina West, from West Africa. She is just, God was making ice cream when he made her, I'm telling you.
Chocolate ice cream.
Chocolate ice cream, baby.
Dark chocolate.
Gina, welcome to SA again. And
thank
welcome
you,
to Cliff
Rosie.
Century.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You were born a princess.
I was, of the Calabari people.
Mm-hmm. And that's from the Niger Delta.
The Niger Delta, yeah. in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. So it's where the oil is, for those of you who don't know.
So it's a proper princess. It's not a Hong Kong one. It's not like that one who claimed she's a Swazi princess. Ah, Did I say that? I love you, Amanda. So tell us, so where did you actually grow up?
I grew up, I was born in the UK. Mm-hmm. And my father was a diplomat. Mm. And so we moved around. So we first lived I was born in the UK. So yeah. We lived in Scotland, actually. Mm-hmm. And then we moved to Italy, mm-hmm. and lived in Rome. So we kept moving around. We then, quote unquote, settled in Ghana, mm-hmm. Which is why so many years later, my husband made the decision to move to Accra.
Yeah.
Because we sort of made it our second home, really. Because yeah. Daddy wanted a bit of stability for us as children. Mm. So rather than keep moving around from school
always
to school.
Always have something that you can call your
yes,
own.
Yes, yes. So even when I was at boarding school in England, I would go home to Ghana.
Ah.
There you go.
You see, you got to have some form of structure when you're growing up.
Absolutely.
But now after school, I mean, you studied law. You're a barrister.
I'm a barrister. Mm. Yes. And I studied law in England. Yeah. The LSE.
And the leap of faith that you took into, I mean, I love stories like that. And literally from legal to music.
Yes.
First of all, what did your father? I always ask people, especially from Africa, it's like, well, what do the parents say? Because we know what our African parents say when it comes to music.
Absolutely. And I have to say, and this is all kudos to Daddy, because he wasn't your typical African parent.
Right.
The one thing he instilled in us as children was that whatever you start, you finish.
Right.
So don't start something and leave it half-baked. You need to finish what you start. And education is important. So yes, typical African view, education is important. But if you have a talent, then he says, exploit it. If you want to act, darling, be the best that you can be.
Yeah.
And that's what he always told us. Yeah. And so he even said, I used to say, Gina, if you want to be an actress, be like Elizabeth Taylor. That was his, that was who he thought was, you know, just be the best, be the best. Don't do it in a half-baked fashion.
Yeah. And I suppose that's also what led to, because I mean, a lot of people get noticed by high players in the industry and so forth. But you got, by the way, not even a high, I mean, I don't even know what caliber to put her on, but Nina Simone.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Now, this was actually before the record deal, before all of that. I was still at school, at university, studying law at the LSE. And I was very academic, I have to say.
Yeah.
And yes, I was talented, but I didn't know I was talented.
Yeah.
But I always used to sing because I loved singing. And my parents used to throw kick-ass parties. And I would be like, yeah. And they would always say, Gina, sing or act or do something. And so I sang Nina Simone's My Baby Just Cares For Me.
Oh, wow.
I had no idea she was there.
Oh, wow.
Because she was brought by a friend, by a mutual friend of my parents, just to the party, as you do. She was a typical African-American who was looking for her roots.
Right.
So she was there in the back somewhere. Gina gets up and sings, My baby don't care. And I finish. Everybody's applauding. And then somebody comes and says, Gina, someone would like to speak to you. So I'm like, who? I just thought it was a friend of my parents. Mm. I get there. I stand in front of this woman. And I literally froze.
Yeah.
I froze because she looked so angry. Mm. And I realized afterwards that it wasn't at me. She wasn't angry at me. She just had that expression, bless her.
Yeah.
You know, and she was very serious and she was very... I don't know, but she scared me and she, you know, and she says, girl, you can sing. So I said, okay. And she says, and I thought she was angry because I'd sung her song, to be honest. Mm. And she says, but you got raw talent. I said, yes, I study law. She goes, well, you were born to sing. I say, give up the law, get yourself some training.
Wow.
That was it. That was it for me. I could not believe, and I don't believe in quote unquote idols. Mm. It's a word I can't quite come to grips with, but that's what she was to me because I was singing her songs.
Yeah.
And
she saw something in that, and it resonated with
her. And it was raw. Yeah. It was raw. Mm. And so that taught me a lesson because I said, you know, Gina, you can have talent, but if you don't hone that talent, if you don't work on it, if you don't practice, if you just take it for granted, hello.
Yeah. How many people?
How many people are talented out there?
Mm.
Yeah. Loads.
But I mean, you mentioned something before that you were very academic. But if you need to cut it in this industry, you need to be academic in a sense, in terms of the discipline that comes with it.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
And so what happened after that? You completed your studies.
Yes. Yeah, so I went back to England. I took her advice and I started having singing lessons. Mm. But I didn't give up the law. I completed it because Daddy always taught me, what you start, you finish.
Yeah.
And so I went back. I became a barrister, fully fledged. And then one day, but this is the way it works, isn't it? When you're meant to do something, somehow the universe conspires to make it happen. Because I was at a party. It was a pool party in England. Can you believe it? In London, in cold London. And as usual, Gina gets up and sings. And I sang Summertime this time. And it was, again, one of my favorite songs, still is. And a cappella, unaccompanied, pure voice.
Yeah.
And these two young boys, really men, came up to me and they said, "Wow, what's your name?" And I said, "Gina West." And they were like, "Wow, you know, we went to Cambridge University. You know, we studied, I studied this, he studied that. But we want to set up a record label." And I thought, yeah, 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 rich boys. But they were serious. "Can you, will you be our artist?" I was like, "Huh?" Long story short, they take me under their wing. We write and record my very first track, Joy.
Yeah.
They present it to Arista Records, Arista BMG. I get a major record deal.
And where did the idea from Joy come from? I mean, what was the inspiration behind
it? Do you know what? And you'll hear it even in my more recent stuff. Yeah. I don't know what it is. It's just something inside. I've always been an annoyingly happy person. I laugh a lot. I smile a lot. I wake up smiling. I'm irritatingly happy.
Yeah.
And but I think that that's a blessing because it comes right from inside
and
of
it's
me.
It's true. It's true because it resonates all the way through you.
It comes right from inside. Yeah. I don't know what that's about. I have no idea. But when I write songs and when I perform, my goal is to impact, is to encourage, is to uplift.
Yeah.
And so you hear that even in songs that are a little bit more real in terms of the words, the lyrics, maybe there's a little bit of pain in there. But at the end of it all, there's always some inspiration. There's always some inspiration.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, Joy was just that sort of a song. Now, I have to warn you, it is a 1996. Woo, baby.
It's a dance song. It's like,
it's a dance track. It was, I mean, it got to number six
in
the UK.
I was just going to say number one in Italy as well.
Number one in Italy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in those days, dance was, and dance still is big, but it was big. I was this dance diva.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd go on stage and I would just set it alight. I'd wear my red hot pants and my, you know, yes, yes. And so that's Joy.
Okay, you got to listen to this track. And of course, it's also playing on my Facebook page. So sing along to Joy.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Gina West, your very first song, Joy. We are jamming in the studio here. And if you go to my Facebook page, look at the song. And then I'm going to post a picture of Gina West now. The woman, like, I think you aged maybe 1 year. You know, God was definitely eating chocolate ice cream when he made you. Mix with macadamia nuts.
They say black don't crack, huh, Rosie?
You know what I'm saying, baby? But after this track, I mean, you were saying, like, in the break that there were billboards. It was overnight success. A success. It was amazing.
Yeah.
But from there, that was the last dance track you did. You
moved the last dance track because I must admit, that was something that was prescribed to me.
Yeah.
And I think back in the day, I thought, but I can sing. Mm. And I felt a little bit frustrated that they just wanted the second single to be another dance thing. Yeah. Well, you're just, you know, I mean, kind of singing, but not really.
Yeah.
I also had this passion for gospel music. And so I think that we were looking for the second single and couldn't really find it. It wasn't easy to find.
Yeah.
Now, because I was a lawyer a trainee lawyer, I was able to, and I qualified when I was 20, so you know, we're talking
overachiever too. Let me just put that in.
No, I don't mean it in that sense, but I knew my stuff.
Yeah.
And so when I read, I looked at the contract, and I did have an entertainment lawyer look at it as well. I made sure I had a get out clause.
Yeah.
Arista was going through a moment where they didn't have much direction, they didn't have leadership, and they also had artists like Toni Braxton, Whitney Houston, big American artists who were just signed then, but the focus, I was in England, the focus was on America, you know, the focus was on America, and so I sort of felt that I was just being put into this box that wasn't me, because even if that box is quote unquote successful, if it isn't you, you won't be happy.
Yeah,
you won't see yourself as successful.
Also, that level of success will be limited because the type of success that an artist has, whether you're a singer, whether you're an actor, a drummer, whatever it is, if it's not driven from the passion and not
there
driven
you go.
From the core.
There you go. There
it's
you
not going
to
go anywhere.
There you go. And yeah. I just felt that I was being told what to wear. I mean, the hot pants were okay, but hello. Mm. You know, sometimes I wanted to wear a little kind of, you know, split skirt on top of the hot pants because I kind of felt that it wasn't really me, you know. And so I one day I just said, you know what, this is not working for me. Mm. I don't think this is working for any of us. We can't come up with a second track because, you know, everything they brought I'd reject. Everything I brought, you know, and we just thought, I just thought,
yeah, the synergy wasn't there.
Yes, I want to do a gospel album. So that's what I did.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. So I set up my label. Mm-hmm. I had some backing, you know, because I had all these contacts, obviously, within the industry. And I set up a label and I produced a gospel album called Voices, pure a cappella. Mm-hmm. Just Voices.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Still critically acclaimed today.
Oh wow.
Yes. Wow. Yes. And it's because it was the first thing I was doing on my own, I did do lots of, one might say covers, but they were all my own arrangements.
Yeah.
I wrote a couple of songs myself, Zimbabwe and others. And really, seriously, check it out. Good songs.
Yeah.
You know, songs that still really resonate.
Mm.
And I realized that was, in a sense, my calling musically. Because I just love to inspire. And this is kind of unadulterated gospel. I needed to do that as the first album.
Yeah.
And then after that, I sort of, you know, was a little bit more, quote unquote, like more recent stuff is more inspirational.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
But also, it's moved to the inspirational because you've had the experience.
That's absolutely
right. So it couldn't
have
started with that.
Yes.
But just before we move on to the gospel, at the time, what was on the charts? Who were your competitors? Who were the other black women that you were going up against?
Remember, this is the UK, and then you've got the States.
Yeah.
And I have to say, and I can say this, the money, the marketing budget, etc., was put into the artists in the States.
Of course.
And without marketing and without that push, doesn't matter how talented you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doesn't matter how talented you are.
Yeah.
You know, and that was, again, another thing. I thought, you know what? The competition in that sense is too high because I can't compete with them. They have 100 million budgets or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have what, you know, 100,000 pounds or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, and so I, you know, so there were quite a few. There were quite a few black artists out there. There were, you know, and for them in the UK and Europe, they just wanted this dance act.
I was just going to say, yes,
because
they
thought,
but also the sexiness.
Yes, yes. They thought the real singers, the real singers are in the States.
Wow.
And I was like, no, I can sing.
Mm. But it's crazy that a lot of nations always think that. Because, I mean, South Africa for a long time always looked to the States.
But look at the singers you have here.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
But now we only discover it. Artists, South African artists, usually make it back in their country when after they've made it around the world.
Yes, yes, you know? Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and we need to change that perception. Okay, so your first Voices.
Yes.
Are you going to sing us something a cappella? Since you mentioned it, Duncan, what
sing
do you
think? Sing us something a cappella. Well, do you know what? I had songs that everybody knows, like Oh Happy Day, Amazing Grace. Do you know that Amazing Grace, actually, because I had it on that album, I was asked, you know when 9/11 happened? Mm-hmm. I was asked to break a moment's silence at the Royal Albert Hall.
Oh, wow.
In London, yes.
Oh, wow.
It was the most moving experience because the room was pitch black and I walked from the back and people were faced, so they didn't know what to expect, and all they heard was this voice singing
just
Amazing
resonating.
Grace. Oh my goodness, a cappella. A cappella, just pure voice.
But stage fright, no.
Do you know what I think? There's adrenaline, there's excitement, and I channel it into the performance. You know, and when you're singing gospel, and I'll say this to, and I think gospel singers or anybody who sings gospel will resonate with this. It's not about you. It's not about you.
I was just about to get to that.
Yes. If you surrender, you're fine.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah. Because it's also just the other power and the other spirit that's pushing through your passion.
Yes.
Now, if you weren't passionate about it, it would just... It wouldn't have resonated through at all.
Yes. Yeah. So this is Amazing Grace.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit.
Okay.
Ooh. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. was blind, but now I see. By the way, I didn't warm up. I was like, Gina, what are you doing? You haven't warmed up.
I literally have goosebumps. That is powerful. Girl. Beautiful, beautiful. Oh boy, man.
I'm taking a sip of water now.
Take
Good
a sip
Lord.
Of water. You deserve that. God, I'm taking off a champagne. That is too beautiful. So your next album, No, yes. No Power Against Me.
Yes.
Where were you in your life? What space were you in before you created that?
Okay, so I was a little bit more mature. Mm. So we're talking about 2008.
Yeah.
I went to New York. Lots of experiences, you know. Mm. You know, you're just life.
Yeah. And you're open. It's yes, there. It's like, yes. What else can I feed? What else
exactly.
can I learn?
And I wanted to, in a sense, cater to my gospel fans, mm. a lot of whom were in London and in New York. Mm. And I just felt it was time. I was ready. Yeah. There were lots of changes in my life.
Yeah.
You know, if you look in the on the cover of No Power, yeah. you'll see I say that this is a new beginning. Yeah. My life had changed. Mm. You know, different things had happened and my life had kind of just changed. Mm. And I thought, you know what? I need to write an album that is really just giving the gift back, literally. Mm. And so I wrote just eight songs.
That acknowledgement of that yes. change. Wow.
Yes. So just, it was a journey. It's like, just eight songs. Mm. Eight songs. And the title track, No Power Against Me, is exactly what it says, because I realize where my strength comes from. Mm. That nothing can touch me
yeah.
if I know where my strength comes from, and it comes from Him. Mm. It comes from Him. That's where it comes from, yeah. for me. Yeah. And I'm not saying that it needs to be the case for everyone, but for me, mm. that's where my strength comes from.
Yeah.
No power against me. When I call on His name, no power.
Yeah. We just got a message that came through from Speckle. Wow, wow, wow. Goosebumps. That was power, strong voice. Gorgeous woman. Question for Gina. What does she think is South Africa's biggest problem?
Ooh.
My brother, you got to narrow it down.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm. Do you know what I think it is? I think that as South Africans, and it doesn't matter whether you are black, colored, mm. White, no matter who you are, you need to know yourself, know what you've been purposed to do on this earth. And that way you'll be able to stand in unity. Mm. You know, we in the other parts of the world, we don't see that unity. Yes, South Africa is a melting pot of various nationalities, etc. But it isn't really, mm. because there isn't that unity. You are one nation. That, I think, is your biggest problem.
Yeah. I hope that answered your question. Please keep the questions coming. But to go back to this album before we move on to your other work, what brought you to New York that time? Because I see you also produced the album there.
Yes, I did. Mm. Yes, I did. I had been invited to perform at a huge worship convention.
Wow.
We're talking about Alvin Slaughter. We're talking about, I can't remember if Kirk Franklin was there. Certainly C.C. Winan was
wow,
there.
Wow.
And I was one of the performers. So mm. so were they. Mm. Okay. So all of us were doing this thing. It's called Worship His Majesty. It was at Madison Square Gardens Arena in New York. Whilst I was there, my cousin Nene, who organizes this, said to me, Gina, it's time. I said, what do you mean? She goes, it's time for another album.
Wow.
So I went into my little quiet space, and you'll never believe this. I was there for 3 weeks, written, recorded, released.
That is amazing.
3 weeks. 3 weeks. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, you made that decision in such a sacred space.
Yes, I did.
I mean, you were not only sharing the space with phenomenal creatives, but you were there for one purpose, for
yes,
Him.
Yes, I was, to worship.
So when that yeah. happens, yeah. it's almost like yeah. the stage is being elevated yeah. to yeah. you.
And then it becomes easy. It's a flow. Mm. There's a flow. There's a natural flow.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Wow. Sharing the stage, I mean, you travel all around the world. Mm. What are some of your most memorable performances? Oh my God, if you just see this beautiful smile as I said that. It's resonating wow. through her.
You know, I first mentioned that unbelievably touching experience, having to sing Amazing Grace, mm. Break a Moment's Silence after 9/11. I sang at the Olympics, the Winter Olympics in Salt Lake City, and that was really incredible to be chosen as one of the people to you know, go from England to perform at the Olympics. I have sang for the Queen of England, you know, on two occasions actually, and on the second occasion, the first occasion was a rather large event. Her husband, Prince Philip, is the one who sort of, you know, came, shook my hand, and was very sort of, you know, and at that, I didn't really have any individual connection with her,
right?
But the second time, it was a tiny little event. It was 27 people seated around the table, and I walk in. I'm at the head of the table, and again, I do what I do best, a cappella. I sang, and she literally had tears in her eyes. That for me is memorable because that was the day I realized that she's human. She's human. She's like the rest of us, you know? And I was like, oh my goodness. Yeah, she gave birth like me. She goes to the loo like me. She has feelings. And it was a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah. And you obviously touched a certain part of her, of that persona that she can't show when she steps
absolutely.
Outside.
Absolutely.
Which is beautiful and special.
That was special.
Yeah. We need to take a break because we need to pay our advertisers. And then when we come back, we're going to listen to that beautiful song, No Power Against Me.
iStore employs real people who love Apple products and sell Apple products, like the Apple iPhone 6 and the Apple iPhone 6 Plus. So if you're looking to upgrade and going somewhere that doesn't specialize in Apple seems silly, it's because it is. Especially since you can take out or upgrade any contract on any network at iStore, even if you took it out somewhere else. iStore, why would you go anywhere else? Visit myistore.co.za for more info. T's and C's apply.
Pan African Connect on cliffcentral.com.
When I call on Jesus' name, sing it loud, no power. If my God is for me, then who can be against me? When I come in Jesus' name, I see demons tremble and I watch the devil flee.
No power against me, Gina West. You know, in the break, I was saying that it classifies under gospel music.
Yes,
but
yes.
As a non-Christian, it's not alienating.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
And I say this in the most positive way possible, is that sometimes you just feel, all right, well, maybe the song isn't going to resonate with me because of the message. But your message, it's a universal message.
Yes, and I think that for me is actually what Christianity is about. It's supposed to be a universal message. We're not supposed to alienate, you know. It's not I'm better or I'm than you. There's nothing like that. We're all in the same boat. We're all human beings who just need some sort of direction, and for me, this is actually coming from that place of truth, and that's why it resonates, I think, because it's not an act. It is truly what I believe. I wish everyone believed what I believe, because I think it's the most amazing, powerful thing. But you know, if they don't, hey, you know, I'll sing about it, I'll tell you about
it's okay,
you know. Yes.
Because I mean, the first time after we had met 2 years ago, and you gave me your discs and everything, and I was going through a totally different emotional journey, and the first song and the first thing I put into my car was this. And I stopped, and then I listened again, and I cried, and it got me through that small little, and it was a long distance drive that I had to make, but I just think it's incredibly very special to be able to transcend that, because as musicians you already have a gift, but to and whether it's somebody bopping their feet or reminding them of their child or whatever, but to be able to transcend such a very special message is remarkable.
But you know what I think it is, Rosie, and I haven't really thought about it in this way before, but what an incredible point, because when I wrote this song, you know, I think we all go through stages in life, and there's a stage sometimes when we're putting on an act, there's a stage when we are perhaps not quite sure of who we are and what we need out of life, we're searching, and then there's a stage where we know what we're about. We know the mistakes we've made. We know what our strengths are and what our weaknesses are. And I think that latter stage is where I was at. And so what you hear in the song, and lyrics are very important to me, what you hear is truth. You know, I used to think I could do it all by myself. You'd never see me cry. That's basically what the song is saying. And that's who I was. I was tough as nails. Mm. Ooh, you know, yes, you don't air your dirty linen in public. Mm. You know, this is Gina West. She is in control, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that when you let go of all of that and you're just real, then that resonates with people.
It's almost like a flower that's caged in.
Yeah.
So once you let down those guards, you're just going to blossom.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so almost no matter what you're saying, people get it. Mm. They get it because it's truth.
Yeah.
It's truth. And we're all human beings. We all, you know, nothing is new under the sun. You know?
We're emotional creatures.
There you go.
You know, and if you tap into that and you allow that and you don't see the weakness as being negative.
There you go.
That's the biggest problem, especially as women and as black women. It's like, okay, we got to push forward. We got to keep on going. Mm. But at the end of the day, we are human. You can't move away from that. Mm. Yeah.
And that's what's beautiful about being human.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Before we move on to your TV career, the world is going crazy. Where were you then?
Oh, baby. Do you know what? I mean, and in many ways, I'm still there. I just had lots of questions. Mm. I had lots of questions. And I was like, what is going on in our world today?
Yeah.
What is this? What is this? You know? I mean, man. And one day in my quiet time, I was like, Lord, the world is going crazy. Mm. You know, and I wish I could have more impact. I wish I could make a difference. And actually, funny enough, that's what I'm trying to do with my TV show. But I said, my goodness, what is this? Mm. What is this? You know, what is this? That's where that song came from.
but I mean, you've lived in the UK. You spend time in Ghana. You travel all around. Mm. And you're raising three amazing children. Mm. What are you instilling in them? I
mean, I really hope, I wish my 18-year-old was here to answer that, because he says, Mommy, you are the best. I mean, wow. Because I don't mince my words. Mm. I'm definitely disciplinarian. I teach them respect. Respect not just for others, but for themselves. Mm. For themselves. Mm. I try to teach them to be truthful with themselves so that they know who they are. Yeah. Because that, actually, funny enough, is what's going to keep you.
It's going to keep you grounded. Especially when those challenges come your way.
Particularly for the male child, and I have three sons, it's about knowing you're unshakable. So for you, that truth, who you are, your moral fiber, the core, that is unshakable.
Yeah.
That should be unshakable. It's not about what this person thinks, what that person thinks. Mm. No, it's for yourself. You're doing it for yourself. That's what I'm trying to teach them. Mm. That's what I'm trying to teach.
You're creating that legacy, not legacy as in a name,
but
just as, this is who I am. Yes. I can stand on my two feet, no matter where you put me.
Yes, character. I call it building men of character.
Yeah.
You know, the boys that we bring up, that's who is going to be the men that we have in society. Mm-hmm. So I feel very passionately about it. Very passionately about it. Yeah.
And creative? Are they creative at
Incredible.
All?
Incredible. Incredible. Oh, I hope he doesn't mind me saying this. Christopher is so incredibly talented.
Christopher's your eldest.
Oh my goodness. He is so talented.
He's this is mommy bragging.
No. But he's the one who did the theme music for my show, A Different View.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And he did it in like 5 minutes. Okay, mommy, I'll give you something. And he is a producer. He raps, but we're talking about intelligent rap.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Intelligent rap. Yeah. It is unbelievable. I don't know where that comes from, you know. And then he's an artist. He's an artist. And that's probably what he's going to do. He's going to go to art college, you know. And then the music is, because I always say to them, please, you start something, you finish it.
Mm. No
shortcuts.
It's got to carry on with what daddy told you.
Yes, no shortcuts. Just do it. You know, complete what you started. Otherwise, you're going to be one of these men who can never quite commit. We don't want that, do we?
Not at all.
So,
beautiful. Okay, so A Different View.
Yeah. Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Talk show in Ghana.
Yes. Yes.
And it airs on Ebony
and African Magic. So it's right across. It's Pan-African. It's right across Africa on DSTV. And it's also going to go outside. So in England and in Canada and in the US. And basically, A Different View with Gina West is a magazine lifestyle show, which with the aim of giving a different, more positive view of Africa, and Africans
yeah.
to the world at large.
Yeah.
We're trying to dispel that myth of Africa mm. as the dark continent. I mean, what does that even mean?
Yeah, I'm so sick of that.
You know, so what I'm trying to show is that we have the same ambitions, the same desires, the same, you know, and we can produce content that is excellent in terms of quality, in terms of what it is we're talking about, in terms of the way we present it yeah. and all of those things. So yeah. that's how the show was birthed.
Yeah.
That's how the show was birthed. We cover everything, mm. myriad of universal topics that affect everyone. And we do it from a Pan-African perspective. Yeah.
Who have you, up to date, some of the most, I wouldn't even say influential, but some of the most memorable interviews that you've had on the show?
Wow. Do you know, I've been very lucky. Whenever I've wanted to have somebody on the show, somehow, miraculously, they come on. We get them.
Yeah.
You know, I had an interview with a fellow artist called Manifest, mm-hmm. and Manifest is a rapper, a Ghanaian rapper. He is, you know, he's been tipped by the BBC as like yeah. somebody to watch out for. So, you know, he's really.
If I'm not mistaken, he was either nominated or something.
Yes.
At the
He's really special. He's mm. a special man, and we had a and we talked about. You see, each of my episodes has a. title, a theme, a topic. Mm. So it's not just about the person who comes on, it's yeah. about the topic. And I brought Manifest on to talk about the spirit of excellence.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Because I really believe he epitomizes that spirit. He is the kind, he believes exactly what I believe, that you don't serve half-baked bread, that you don't serve rotten tomatoes, that you that you know, when you do things, you do it to the best of your ability, you yeah. finish what you start, etc., etc. Hard work.
Yeah.
You know, and he does put in the hard work. And so we had a talk about his career, but also about that view. Because unfortunately on our continent, rotten tomatoes.
Yeah. And it's almost become complacent. It's like, yeah.
This is Africa.
Way.
This is Africa time. Yes.
No.
Yes. No. So for me, that is what I'm trying to change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got a 8-minute slot with just the Pilates
in my show. So yes. It's a segment called Love Yourself.
Yeah.
I believe that one way of loving yourself is through exercise.
Yeah.
Because when you exercise, you know, there's the endorphins, there's the movement. A flexible body is a young body.
Mm. Mm.
So I believe in Pilates. Why? Because anybody can do that. It's not high impact.
Yeah.
So you're protecting, you do everything from the core, from this area here.
Yeah.
You can't see me, listener, but it's, you know,
it's there. It's your abdominals,
your pelvis, and your lower back. That's the core.
Yeah.
So everything stems from there. And if that is your powerhouse, it's like a rock, then guess what? Your body's going to stay strong and young.
So are you.
Yes.
And in mind.
Yes, and in mind. Mm. Yeah. So that's why I do that. So every episode has that 8 minutes of dynamic core Pilates, which I do, by the way.
That was going to be my next thing, was that you... She's a woman of all talents. That's brilliant. But I mean, you are looking at your body and what you said is that how you treat your body is how your life is going to manifest.
Yes.
You live obviously a very good and healthy lifestyle.
I do.
Has that transcended with the for instance West African cuisine, West African lifestyle, which is rich in foods like South Africa. Mm-hmm. Are you changing that perception of...
Well, do you know what? I'm trying to change the perception. I'm trying to say that, look, I mean, in fact, one of our episodes was called Healthy Eating.
Mm.
So we talked about healthy eating, different foods. We took a list of different foods and we told the viewer, why are these foods good for you?
Yeah.
How can you incorporate this into your lifestyle? I'm not saying... And then there was another episode more recently, Looking After Yourself, where I had a nutritionist on set talking about the various foods and why some foods need to be avoided, etc. It's not a case of stop eating what you're eating, but there are healthier ways of preparing food.
Yeah.
You know, there are healthier ways. Mm. And if you incorporate just a little bit of exercise into your daily life, you'll see a difference.
It does a world of good.
You know, in fact, I've got a new show. I don't know if you know this, Rosie. It's called Strengthen Your Core.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Yeah, Strengthen Your Core with Gina West. It airs every morning. And it's basically to change the mindset, like you say, because I feel that exercise isn't really a part of our daily lives on this continent, and it needs to be. A lot of people say, but I don't have any time. But guess what? This is just 15 minutes of dynamic core Pilates. You will see a difference.
Yeah.
If you just do it, it's just that daily routine, that daily practice. And it comes from loving yourself, you know.
Yeah.
Loving yourself.
If you want to feel good,
yeah,
you automatically do it. And yes, the initial stage is that first couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. It's either getting
and then it becomes a routine.
Then it becomes routine.
Yeah.
But also the differences that you see, what happening in your life. Mm-hmm. Like looking at you, you're always glowing. You know what I mean? But it's because of that release of endorphins.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know? It's the happy drug.
Yeah. And a lot of people also, what they don't realize is that people say, well, eating healthy is very expensive. Actually,
no, it isn't.
If you do it right, it's actually a lot
Hello.
Cheaper.
Hello, we are on a continent where you have fresh fruit, delicious vegetables, amazing. Mm. We don't have an excuse.
Yeah.
It's about the mindset.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Going back to a different view, who would you say is your target audience?
Do you know, initially when I first started pitching the show, I thought it was a particular age group, you know, and, you know, okay, women who are both women who work, you know, but and men as well, and men as well, by the way, as well as, you know, so a slightly older audience maybe. No. Oh my goodness, I have kids who are like, yeah, we love the show. I love what you said. Some of the content, you know, like we had an episode called Let's Talk About Sex. Because that's a topic that I think is, quote unquote, hypocritically taboo.
Yeah.
And I say hypocritically because, hello, come on. Mm. You know.
Who are we kidding here?
Who are we kidding here? So we talked about that. You know, just open. And of course, that was slightly censored because there was a lady I had on set who was like practically having an orgasm. She was like, this is what I do. And I was like, oh my God, there are kids watching. So it was just, you know, yeah. But generally, everybody can watch the show and learn something from the show. It is educational. I had somebody stop me. I was on a business trip and I came out of my hotel room and some guy, a man, Rosie. And in fact, most of the people come up to me are men. Mm. I love your show. So I said, oh, which show is that? I was a little bit confused. I was like, okay, what's he talking about? Mm. And he said, because, you know, there are several. And he was like, A Different View with Gina. You're Gina West, right?
Oh,
I said, I am Gina West. It wasn't even in Ghana. I am Gina West. And he says, do you know why I like it? Because it's educational. Mm. Actually, he said educative, but less educational.
Yeah. That's powerful.
Yeah.
Taboos and myths and misconceptions. What is the state of women's rights in West Africa in your point of view?
Wow. I don't know if you ever watched the episode The Changing Role of the African Woman. Mm-mm. I did that because of this very question. And I have a view. That's why we call it A Different View. Mm. I have a view. I think that since time immemorial, women had power.
Yeah.
We were the educators.
Yeah.
We were the homemakers. We had the most influence over men who are then the ones who would go into power.
Mm.
And it's very important that we remember that role that we have always had. I think where we lose it and we fall apart is when we forget who we are and the influence we have.
Mm.
The influence we have. And at the moment, I'm seeing changes. I am seeing changes across the continent. Look, female presidents. Hello. Women in government, women in ministry, women who can speak up.
Mm.
Yes. Mm. And we need to hang on to that. Hang on to that. Remember who we are.
And also not be ashamed of pushing our femininity forward.
Well, that's it. Yeah. The fact that
our power lies
isn't
in
that femininity. I agree with you. Our power is because we are women. That's where our power is.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Do you know what? It's so funny because I was having this discussion on the set and somebody disagreed with me and said, well, no, that's why I love that. I love that. You know, and I said, but wait a second. Yeah, so you've got these men in power, but who is the voice behind the power?
Thank you.
Don't get confused. Mm. Don't get confused. Mm.
You know, it's the old adage that, yes, the man might be the head, but the woman's the neck.
Hello.
Can twist the head in any direction.
And she can decide, crick, you can't move any longer.
Yeah.
Ooh, damn.
Watch your step. As I was saying, you got to organize yourself. So much to talk about. Okay, let's move on to your song, Cheche.
Ooh.
Because that's coming also from another area and another beautiful space.
I love to see people empowered.
Yeah.
And it's not just about women. Once upon a time I thought I would focus on women and children, and I thought, wait a second, Gina, what about men? So who's going to make them some men feel, you know, some men abashed, you know. Some men are beaten by their wives. Some men are put down by their mothers.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, you know what? This is just a universal song of empowerment. Che-che, C-H-E-C-H-E, che-che is a word that I made up. Yes, I made it up. But what does it mean? It means talk to the hand. Mm. It means I am a child of the King of Kings. It means, yeah, whatever negative things you're saying to me, but I can't hear you. It means, yeah, whatever. That's what it means. It's a song of empowerment.
Yeah.
Che-che.
Yeah.
So, you know, the song, yeah. There you go.
Let's play it. Duncan's feeling it. Let's put it. This is Che-Che.
Emotions.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Che-Che. Why do you talk to me like this?
Che-Che. Pan-African Connect on CliffCentral.com.
Just say Che-Che. Put your hand up. Your wife is making too much noise. Just say Che-Che. Your boss is on your case. Just say Che-Che. The bank manager's calling. Che-Che.
You're a child who doesn't have self-esteem. Mm. Just yeah. say Che-Che.
Power.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. So, Gina West, what's next? Because I know whatever you touch, it's not even turning to gold.
Bless you. Do you know what? I am one of these people who believes in flow, in flow. And so I don't plan too far ahead. I know I'm running a race. Mm. And so, you know, I have a couple of other shows in the pipeline because I have a production company, yeah. Creation and Innovation. We just continue to create, you know, and musically, I've got a new album that I need to release. Fabulous. I recorded a lot of the songs here in South Africa, actually.
Yeah.
There's one called Don't Look Back. And that's a message there. Yeah. That's a message there. Don't look back. Too many of us are too busy looking back at our past glory.
Yeah.
And then we forget and comparing ourselves
to
what we used to be, and we forget to run the race. The race is set before you. Keep running your race. Mm. So that's what's ahead for me. I just want to keep running my race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot to actually mention something about Che-Che because the music video is amazing. Where did you shoot that?
In Ghana.
Yeah.
That's another thing that I like to do. I want to shoot on the continent so that we say, you know what? We can produce good content.
Yeah.
Because previously, obviously, everything was shot in the UK. Mm. No. We can shoot it in Ghana. We can shoot it here. We can shoot it
anywhere.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, we're a universal continent.
Absolutely.
Collaborations. I know Kunle Ayo. Can't wait to hear this track. One of my favorite. In fact, we're going to have him on the show in a couple of weeks' time.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. So I have to get you the track, actually, because we're due to release them.
Fantastic.
Release these songs, yeah.
So who else would you like to collaborate? I mean, who's on your wish list?
Quite a few people.
Yeah.
I have this thing where I don't want to mention names because I don't want to say it. And then they say, she said. And then I'm like, So I just, you know, but there are. I believe in collaborations.
Yeah.
I believe
but
in
also
collaborations.
The right collaborations.
Yes, it has
and
to be
you,
the right
and
one.
And you've been very, very strategic in that.
Yes.
Because
yes,
I think one of the faults that a lot of these young artists are happening is like, well, let me collab with this one. And then
everybody.
When it comes to actually releasing a single, people are like, nobody released one ages ago. No, you just did a lot of collaborations, you know. And I've seen that's happening with a lot of young guys. I mean, you're not going to talk about the guys filling up the dome, but you know.
That's true. Yeah. Very good point. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Besides Che-Che, what words of wisdom do you have?
Wow.
First,
do you know what?
If you could give a message to the young Gina 20 years ago, what would it be?
Gina, follow your heart. Remember that your success is not dependent on anyone else's failure.
Mm.
Run your race. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Be true to yourself.
Powerful.
That's what I would say to the young Gina. Mm. That's what I'd say to anybody listening, actually.
Yeah.
Because it still stands true.
Yeah.
That's
also
really
just
what it
to
is.
Believe in yourself. I mean, especially to those women out there who know. I mean, we all have it.
Mm.
It's just somebody else who has buried that dream and buried that spark.
Hello. Hello.
How do we ignite that? Because that's what we're about. We want to ignite those passions.
You know what? I believe in taking risk. Just put yourself out there.
Yeah.
Put yourself out there because you don't know. You don't know. Somehow, and I say the universe, somehow it conspires. Mm. It works everything
when
together for your favor. Yes, 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 yes. Just trust, trust.
Mm.
Fear is the antithesis of faith. Mm. Have faith. Step out in faith. That's what I would say to that woman.
There you have it, my beautiful people. Gina West from West Africa. If you want to know more about her, she's on Twitter, she's on Facebook, she's on Instagram. Of course, I'm gonna replay some of her old videos on my Facebook page. But anything else, you can drop me an email, info@wakaagency.biz. Otherwise, send us a message via the telephone, via Twitter. Of course, we're also on WeChat. And we're going to play out with another golden oldie, which is The World Is Going Crazy. We spoke about this earlier, but I just think that's exactly where we are. The world is going crazy, but we're also crazy. And so let's just
there you go.
It's been an absolute pleasure. See you same Thank time you. Next week. Gina West, travel back safely.
Thank you, Rosie.
And to the listeners, of course, the podcast will be, you can download it in the next hour or so. Otherwise, drop me a message on Princess RTM on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Love you lots. See you next week.
Pan-African Connect on cliffcentral.com.